샤릴 다리 아래 기다렸네 고란들로 태양을 올라가시 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya. Paramahansa Paravatikacharya also tell us that she, Shiva, is divine grace of Maya Chananarada Vedanta Goswami Mahashila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnav Rindiga Jai, Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Pranseko. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha Shivasati Gaur Vakta Vrindiki Chai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Chai Vrindavadam Ki Chai Maturadam Ki Chai Chagavata Sami Ki Chai Yamanamai Ki Chai Shrimati Kalasi Devi Ki Chai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindiki Chai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bum. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Dama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta, Swamini Namani. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharni, Nivashesha, Shunyavani, Paschacha, Deshatarni. So read the translation. When will that opportune moment come to me? When I shiver upon chanting the name of Lord Gauranga. When will I cry while chanting Hare Krishna? When will I receive the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda so that my desires for material enjoyment become insignificant? When will my mind be purified of material anxieties and desires so that I could understand Vrindavana? When shall I be very eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis, so they can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna? The lotus feet of the six Goswamis are my only shelter. Constant separation from them, I remain. Narottamadas, Narottamadas, Thakur Ki Jai. Okay, so we're going to continue with our reading of the Krishna book. And tomorrow is the celebration, commemoration, of Lord Vamanadeva's appearance. It's also the appearance of Srila Jiva Goswami tomorrow. And then the day after tomorrow is the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The day after that is the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. And the day after that is the Visvarup Mahotsava. That means the festival for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's brother, so Visvarupa. So, anyway, we have quite a few days of festivals, but today we are going to, and today's Ekadashi, of course, and we fast half the day for Lord Vamanadeva's appearance. So today we are going to continue with our Krishna book reading, and then in the next few days it will be recitations or talks about these personalities who either appeared or disappeared, or Lord Vamanadeva. Okay, so on that happy note, Om Ganatim Vidandasya Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So let us share the screen so we can read the Krishna book together. Hold on a second. Where? Oh, there it is. All right, here we go. Let's get set up here. And this, of course, is chapter 23, which is a very interesting chapter. It's delivering the wives of the brahmanas who perform sacrifice. And in this particular chapter, we see in this particular case, the ladies were much more intelligent than the men. Sometimes we find people who... I'm not going to use the word chauvinistic. Sometimes we find that people who say that men could become devotees and women, well, maybe if they follow the men. But in this particular case, we find the women are the best devotees, and their husbands, in spite of being brahmanas, should have followed them. And they did follow them ultimately, but not really, not really. They didn't have full faith like the wives did. So that the whole point is shraddha, full faith. What does full faith mean? Shraddha means to give your heart. To understand, sharanagati is another word, to understand the Lord is always protecting one, the Lord is always maintaining one, to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord, and to be meek and humble, and also to accept everything favorable and reject everything favorable. Those are the six symptoms of sharanagati, or surrender to the Lord. Okay, so, delivering the wives of the brahmanas who perform sacrifices. The morning passed, and the coward boys were very hungry because they had not eaten breakfast. They immediately approached Krishna Balaram and said, "Dear Krishna Balaram, you are both all-powerful. You can kill many, many demons, but today we are much afflicted with hunger, and this is disturbing us. Please arrange for something that will mitigate our hunger." Now, you should also understand that coward boys, being Krishna's associates, were not under the control of hunger. So, if Krishna manifested this hunger, that was for his pastimes, first of all, and second of all, they were simply thinking of Krishna's pleasure. Requested in this way by their friends, Lord Krishna and Balaram arranged to show compassion to certain wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices. These wives were great devotees of the Lord, and Krishna took this opportunity to bless them. He said, "My dear friends, please go to the house of the brahmanas nearby. They are now engaged in performing the Vedic sacrifice known as Angirasa, for they desire elevation to the heavenly planets. All of you, please go to them." Then Lord Krishna warned his friends, "These brahmanas are not Vaishnavas. They cannot even chant our names, Krishna and Balaram. They are very busy in chanting the Vedic hymns, although the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find me. But because they are not attracted by the names of Krishna and Balaram, you had better not ask them for anything in my name. Better ask for some charity in the name of Balaram," because Balaram was known as a Kshatriya and Krishna was known as a Vaishya, which is lower caste, according to caste distinction, which we don't agree with. Charity is generally given to high-class brahmanas, but Krishna and Balaram did not appear in a Brahmin family. Balaram was known as the son of Vasudeva Kshatriya, and Krishna was known in Vrindavan as the son of Nanda Maharaj, who was a Vaishya. Neither belonged to the Brahmin community. Therefore, Krishna considered that the brahmanas engaged in performing sacrifices might not be induced to give charity to a Kshatriya and a Vaishya, but at least if you utter the name of Balaram, they may prefer to give in charity to a Kshatriya rather than to me, because I am only a Vaishya. Now, according to the Varnashram system, the Kshatriyas are not supposed to beg, and the Vaishyas are not supposed to beg. However, because they were children, or acting as children, that's all right. Children can beg. But an adult Vaishya, an adult Kshatriya, is not supposed to be engaged in begging. The Brahmin can engage in begging, the sannyasi can engage in begging, but not the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and certainly not the Shudras. Being thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the boys went to the Brahmanas and began to ask for some charity. They approached them with folded hands and fell down on the ground to offer respect. O earthly gods, kindly hear us who are ordered by Lord Krishna and Balaram. We hope you know them both very well, and we wish you all good fortune. Krishna and Balaram are tending cows nearby, and we have accompanied them. We have come to ask for some food from you. You are all Brahmanas and knowers of religious principles, and if you think that you should give us charity, then give us some food, and we shall all eat along with Krishna and Balaram. You are the most respectable Brahmanas within the human society, and you are expected to know all the principles of religious procedure. Although the boys were village boys and were not expected to be learned in all the Vedic principles of religious ritual, they hinted that because of their association with Krishna and Balaram, they knew all those principles. By addressing the Brahmanas as knowers of all religious principles, the boys expressed the point of view that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram, were asking for food, the Brahmanas should immediately deliver some without hesitation. Because, as is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one should perform yajna sacrifices only for the satisfaction of Vishnu. The boys continued, Lord Vishnu is Krishna and Balaram is standing waiting. That's very interesting. You see, the singular is used here. In other words, Lord Vishnu as Krishna and Balaram is showing the coward boys actually knew that Krishna and Balaram were the same person. And you should immediately deliver whatever food you have in your stock. They also explained to the Brahmanas that when food is to be accepted, one is not to be accepted. Generally, the Vaishnavas or pure devotees of the Lord do not take part in ordinary sacrificial performances, but they know very well the ceremonies called Diksha, Pashu, Sangshta, and Shutramani. One is permitted to take food after the procedure of Diksha. Diksha is like the beginning of the sacrifice, and before the animal sacrificial ceremony and the Shutramani, or ceremony in which liquors are also offered. The boy said, we can take your food at the present stage of your ceremony, for now it will not be prohibited. So you can deliver us the food. Liquor is offered. Of course, it's not ordinary liquor like vodka or things like that. Obviously, the liquor is basically for the heavenly planets, what they drink there. Although the companions of Lord Krishna Balaram were simple coward boys, they were in a position to dictate even to the high-class Brahmanas engaged in the Vedic rituals of sacrifice. But the smarter Brahmanas, who were simply sacrificial-minded, could not understand the dictation of the transcendental devotees of the Lord. They could not even appreciate the begging of the Supreme Lord Krishna and Balaram. Although they heard all the arguments on behalf of Krishna and Balaram, they did not care for them, and they refused to speak to the boys. In other words, they just ignored the coward boys. Despite being highly elevated in the knowledge of Vedic sacrificial rites, all such non-devotee Brahmanas, although they think of themselves as very highly elevated, are ignorant, foolish persons. All their activities are childish because they do not know the purpose of the Vedas, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, to understand Krishna. In spite of their advancement in Vedic knowledge and rituals, they do not understand Krishna. Therefore, their knowledge of the Vedas is useless. Wow. Lord Chaitanya therefore gave us a valuable opinion that although a person may not be born in a Brahmin family, if he knows Krishna or the science of Krishna consciousness, he is more than a Brahmin and he is quite fit to become a spiritual master. That's a very, very important verse. Kiva Vipra, Kiva Shudra, Kiva Vipra, Shudra Kena Nai, Kiva Nasi, Shudra Kena Nai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda, Se Guru Hai. Doesn't matter one's birth. There are various details to be observed of the performance of sacrifices. They are known as Desha, place, Kala, time, Pitag Dravya, the different detailed paraphernalia, mantra, hymns, Tantra, scriptural evidences, Agni, fire, Ritvik, learned performers of sacrifices, Devata, the demigods, Yajamana, the performer of the sacrifices, Kratu, the sacrifice itself, and Dharma, the procedures. All these are for satisfying Krishna. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the actual enjoyer of all sacrifices because he is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supreme Absolute Truth beyond the conception or speculation of material senses. It's 529 in the Gita. He is present just like an ordinary human boy, but for persons who identify themselves with the body, it is very difficult to understand him. The Brahmanas were very much interested in the comforts of the material body and in elevation to the higher planetary residences called Swargavasa, these heavenly planets. They were therefore completely unable to understand the position of Krishna. When the boys saw that the Brahmanas would not reply to them even with a simple yes or no, they became very much disappointed. They then returned to Lord Krishna and Balaram and explained everything that had happened. After hearing their statements, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled. He told them they should not be sorry for being refused by the Brahmanas, because that is the way of begging. He convinced them that one who is engaged in collecting or begging should not think he will be successful everywhere. He may be unsuccessful in some places, but that should not be a cause for disappointment. Lord Krishna then asked all the boys to go again, but this time to the wives of those Brahmanas engaged in sacrifices. He also informed them that these wives were great devotees. They're always absorbed in thinking of us. Go there and ask for some food in my name and in the name of Balaram, and I am sure that they will deliver you as much food as you desire. Carrying on Krishna's order, the boys immediately went to the wives of the Brahmanas. They found the wives sitting inside the Brahmanas' house. They were very beautifully decorated with ornaments. After offering them all respectful obeisances, the boys said, "Dear mothers, please accept our humble obeisances and hear our statement. May we inform you that Lord Krishna and Balarama are nearby. They have come here with the cows, and you may know also that we have come here under their instruction. All of us are very hungry. Therefore, we have come to you for some food. Please give us something to eat for Krishna, Balaram, and ourselves." Immediately upon hearing this, the wives of the Brahmanas became anxious for Krishna and Balaram. These reactions were spontaneous. They did not have to be convinced of the importance of Krishna and Balaram. Immediately after hearing their names, they became very eager to see them. Being advanced by thinking of Krishna constantly, they were performing the greatest form of mystic meditation. All the wives then became very busily engaged in filling up different pots with nice food. Due to the performance of the sacrifice, the various foods were all very palatable. After collecting a feast, they prepared to go to Krishna, their most beloved object, exactly in the way rivers flow to the sea. For a long time, the wives had been eager to see Krishna. However, when they were preparing to leave home to go to see him, their husbands, fathers, sons, and relatives asked them not to go. But the wives did not comply. When a devotee is called by the attraction of Krishna, he does not care for bodily ties. The women entered the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, which was verdant with vegetation and newly grown vines and flowers. Within that forest, they saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in tending the cows along with their very affectionate boyfriends. Now, one thing is very important, is that when the cowherd boys went first to the Brahmanas and asked for some food, the Brahmanas ignored them, didn't even acknowledge their presence. Now, when the cowherd boys went to the wives of the Brahmanas, and the wives of the Brahmanas took the food to Krishna and Balaram, they ignored their husbands. So, what a reaction. Their husbands were saying, husbands and brothers and fathers were saying, "Where are you going?" And they didn't hear a peep, a single reply from the Brahmanas' wives. Nothing. They just disappeared. And actually, in the Vedic system, that would be considered an insult. If someone talks to you and you don't reply to them, especially, you know, in a marriage situation like that, and you just ignore them, That's very, very agitating, a cause for problems. So anyway, that was their reaction for ignoring the coward boys when the coward boys were asking for food. The Brahmana's wife saw Krishna with a blackish complexion, wearing a garment that glittered like gold. He wore a nice garland of forest flowers and a peacock feather on his head. He was also painted with the minerals found in Vrindavan, and he looked exactly like a dancing actor on a theatrical stage. They saw him resting one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and in his other hand he was holding a lotus flower. His ears were decorated with lilies. He wore marks of tilak, and he was smiling charmingly. With their very eyes, the wives of the Brahmanas saw the supreme personality of Godhead, of whom they had heard so much, who was so dear to them, and in whom their minds were always absorbed. Now they saw him eye to eye and face to face, and Krishna entered within their hearts through their eyes. Within themselves, they began to embrace Krishna to their heart's content, and the distress of separation was mitigated immediately. They were just like great sages who, by their advancement of knowledge, merged into the existence of the Supreme. As the Super Soul living in everyone's heart, Lord Krishna could understand their minds. They had come to him despite all the protests of their relatives, fathers, husbands, and brothers, and despite all the duties of household affairs. They came just to see him who was their life and soul. They were exactly following Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. One should surrender to him, giving up all varieties of occupational and religious duties. Of course, that's Sarva Dharma Parichaya Mahame Kam Sharanam Praja. He therefore began to speak to them, smiling very magnificently. It should be noted in this connection that when Krishna entered into the wives' hearts, and when they embraced him and felt transcendental bliss of being merged with him, the Supreme Lord Krishna did not lose his identity, nor did the individual wives lose theirs. The individuality of both the Lord and the wives remained, yet they felt oneness in existence. When a lover submits to his lover without any pinch of personal consideration, that is called oneness. Lord Chaitanya has taught us this feeling of oneness in his Shikshashtaka. Krishna may act freely, doing whatever he likes, but the devotee should always be in oneness or in agreement with his desires. That oneness was exhibited by the wives of the Brahmanas in their love for Krishna. Krishna welcomed them with the following words. My dear wives of the Brahmanas, you are all very fortunate and are welcome here. Please let me know what I can do for you. You're coming here to see me neglecting all the restrictions and hindrances of relatives, fathers, brothers, and husbands is completely befitting. One who does this actually knows his self-interest, because rendering transcendental loving service unto me without motive or restriction is actually auspicious for the living entities. Lord Krishna here confirms that the conditioned soul can reach the highest perfectional stage by surrendering to him. One must give up all other responsibilities. This complete surrender, and I have to really unpack that. That doesn't mean that one drops all their responsibilities. One dovetails their responsibilities in Krishna's service. All their responsibilities to family, society, friendship, love, can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Not that you just like run away, because that's called renunciation in the mode of passion. When things are very difficult, you run away from things. But renunciation in the mode of goodness is to do your duty to please, transcendental goodness, do your duty to please Krishna. So this is complete surrender. This complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most auspicious path for the conditioned soul, because the Supreme Lord is the supreme object of love. Everyone is loving his self according to the advancement of his knowledge. Ultimately, when a person comes to understand that his self is the part and parcel, is the spirit soul, and the spirit soul is nothing but a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he recognizes the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of love, and then surrenders unto him. This surrender is considered auspicious for the conditioned soul. Our life, property, home, wife, children, house, country, society, and all paraphernalia, which are very dear to us, are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they're his energies. He is the central object of love because he gives us all bliss, expanding himself in so many ways according to our different situations, namely bodily, mental, or spiritual. My dear wives of the Brahmanas, Krishna said, you can now return to your homes. Engage yourselves in sacrificial activities and in the service of your husbands and household affairs so that your husbands will be pleased with you and their sacrifice which they have begun will be properly executed. After all, your husbands are householders, and without your help, how can they execute their prescribed duties? The wives of the Brahmanas replied, dear Lord, this sort of instruction does not befit you. Your eternal promise is that you always protect your devotees, and now you must fulfill this promise. Anyone who comes and surrenders unto you never goes back to the conditioned life of material existence. We expect that you will now fulfill your promise. We have surrendered unto your lotus feet, which are covered by tulasi leaves. So we have no desire to give up the shelter of your lotus feet and return to the company of our so-called relatives, friends, and society. And what shall we do if we return home? Our husbands, brothers, fathers, sons, mothers, and friends will no longer accept us at home because we have already left them all. Therefore, we have no shelter to return to. Please, therefore, do not ask us to return home, but arrange for our stay under your lotus feet so that we can eternally live under your protection. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, my dear wives of the Brahmins, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you on your return, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you. Because you are my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also people in general, as well as the demigods will be satisfied with you. Krishna is situated as the supersoul in everyone's heart, so someone who becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna immediately becomes pleasing to everyone. The pure devotee of Lord Krishna is never inimical to anyone, nor can any sane person be an enemy of a pure devotee. Transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection, Krishna said further, but anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. After being instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the wives returned home to their respective husbands, pleased to see their wives back home. The Brahmanas sat together with them and executed the performances of sacrifices as enjoined in the Shastras. According to Vedic principle, religious rituals must be executed by the husband and wife together. When the Brahmanas' wives returned, the sacrifice was duly and nicely executed. One of the Brahmanas' wives, however, who had been forcibly checked from going to see Krishna, began to remember him as she heard of his bodily features. Being completely absorbed in his thoughts, she gave up her material body conditioned by the laws of nature. Actually, there's two ways to understand that particular statement. She gave up her material body. One is, she left her material body. That's one way to understand it. Another way is, that she actually gave up the attachment to her material body and was absorbed in her spiritual relationship, internal spiritual relationship with Krishna. There are two ways to understand that. After the departure of the Brahmanas' wives, Sri Govinda and his coward boyfriends enjoyed the food they had offered. In this way, the ever-joyful personality of Godhead exhibited his transcendental pastimes in the guise of an ordinary human being in order to attract the common people to Krishna consciousness. With his words and beauty, he attracted all the cows, coward boys, and damsels in Vrindavan. All of them together enjoyed the pastimes of the Lord. After the return of their wives from Krishna, the Brahmanas engaged in the performance of sacrifices began to regret their sinful activities in refusing food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They could finally understand their mistake, engaged in the performance of Vedic rituals. They had neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared just like an ordinary human being and asked for some food. They began to condemn themselves after seeing the faith and devotion of their wives. They regretted very much that although their wives were elevated to the platform of pure devotional service, they themselves could not understand even a little bit of how to love and offer transcendental loving service to the Supreme Soul. Lamentation. They began to talk among themselves, to hell with our being born Brahmanas, to hell with our learning all the Vedic literatures, to hell with our performing great sacrifices, and observing all the rules and regulations. To hell with our family, oh my God. To hell with our expert service in performing the rituals exactly according to the description of the scriptures. To hell with it all, for we have not developed transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the speculation of the mind, body, and senses. Now, similar to a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shrama Evihi Kevalam, No Pariyad Yadi Ritim Shrama Evihi Kevalam, Dharma Shwandashita Punchita Pumsa Vishwaksin Katasa Yad, No Pariyad Yadi Ritim Shrama Evihi Kevalam, that even if you execute your Dharma nicely and you don't develop attraction to the loving service of the Supreme Personality of God. It's described that Shrama Evihi Kevalam, what is the use? You know, you're just simply spinning your wheels, just like when you have a car and the car is stuck and there's some mud or something like that, and you push down the accelerator and the wheels just spin, you're not getting anywhere. So basically, the test of your advancement in devotional service is twofold. Actually, manyfold, but twofold. Jnana and Vairagya. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagya Jnanam Chayadahaitakam. When one performs devotional service, one develops knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God. And knowledge of the Lord means not only what he does, but also who he is, or who, and also what you should do, what the spiritual world is like, and then also Vairagya. Vairagya is an interesting word. Raja means passion. Now, we have so much passion to enjoy this material world. We want so many things. We want to rub our senses against so many different objects, you know, different food, different possessions, different people, you know, Manashakshtadi, Indriyani, Prakatishtani, Karshati. And so one develops detachment from that. Detachment is described by the word nirapeksha. Nirapeksha means basically disinterest or neutrality towards all the attractions in this world. And so that's the test. Jnana, Vairagya, and also, obviously, Rati, having a taste for chanting, having a taste for serving the Vaishnavas, having a taste for deity worship. All these things are extremely important standards by which we can judge whether or not we're wasting our time or not. Otherwise, you know, as described in the Upadeshamrita, which you read some time ago, Niyamagraha, we may be doing everything. Niyamagraha means to be performing all the rules and regulations and all the dharma and whatever you're doing. But if you're not developing an attraction for Krishna, then it becomes like an impediment. Why is it an impediment? Because you actually become proud, like the brahmanas were. So the learned brahmanas, let's continue, expert in Vedic ritualistic performances, were properly regretful because if one does not develop Krishna consciousness, all discharge of religious duties is simply a waste of time and energy. They continue to talk among themselves. The external energy of Krishna is so strong that it can create illusion to overcome even the great mystic yogi. Although we expert brahmanas are considered to be the teachers of all other sections of human society, we also have been illusioned by the external energy. Just see how fortunate these women are. They have so devotedly dedicated their lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna that they could easily do what is ordinarily so difficult. They gave up their family connections, which are just like a dark well for the continuation of material miseries. Women in general, being very simple in heart, can very easily take to Krishna consciousness, and when they develop love of Krishna, they can easily get liberation from the clutches of Maya, which are very difficult for even so-called intelligent and learned men to surpass. And Prabhupada commented that generally at religious ceremonies, you'll find, you know, deity worship, whatever, you'll find more women than men because their heart is very soft-hearted, or or they are very soft hearted. He's using the word heart twice. The Brahmanas continued, according to Vedic injunction, women are not allowed to undergo the purificatory process of initiation by the sacred thread, nor are they allowed to live as brahmacharinis in the ashram of the spiritual master, nor are they advised to undergo the strict disciplinary procedures, nor are they very expert in discussing the philosophy of self-realization. And by nature, they're not very pure, nor are they very much attached to auspicious activities. Therefore, how wonderful it is that these women have developed transcendental love for Krishna, the Lord of all mystic yogis. They have surpassed all of us in firm faith and devotion unto Krishna. Although we are considered to be masters in all purificatory processes, we did not actually know what their goal is because we are too much attached to the materialistic way of life. That's rituals. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we find that even in Krishna consciousness, people become attached too much to the externals. Even though we were reminded of Krishna and Balaram by the coward boys, we disregarded them. We now think that the Supreme Personality of God had simply played a trick of mercy on us by sending his friends to beg food from us. Otherwise, he had no need to send them. He could have satisfied their hunger then and there just by willing to do so. So they had that spiritual knowledge. If someone denies Krishna self-sufficiently on hearing that he was tending the cows for his livelihood, or if someone doubts his not being in need of the food, thinking that he was actually hungry, then such a person should understand that the goddess of fortune is always engaged in his service. In this way, the goddess can break her faulty habit of restlessness. That's why she's called Chanchala. And the Vedic literature is like the Brahma Samhita. It is stated that Krishna is served in his abode with great respect by not only one goddess of fortune, but many thousands. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevilanam. Therefore, it is simply illusion for one to think that Krishna begged food from the Brahmanas. It was actually a trick to show them mercy by teaching them that they should accept him in pure devotional service instead of engaging in ritualistic ceremonies. The Vedic ceremonial paraphernalia, the suitable place, the suitable time, the different grades of articles for performing the ritualistic ceremonies, the Vedic hymns, the process of sacrifice, the priest who is able to perform the sacrifice, the fire, the demigods, the performer of the sacrifice, and the religious principles, all are meant for understanding Krishna, for Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Lord Vishnu and Lord of all mystic yogis. Because he has appeared as a child in the dynasty of the Yadus, we were so foolish that we could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahman is said, but on the other hand, we are very proud because we have such exalted wives who have developed pure transcendental service of the Lord without being shackled by our rigid opposition. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, under whose illusory energy called Maya, we are absorbed in fruitive activities. We therefore pray to the Lord to be kind enough to excuse us because we are simply captivated by his external energy. We transgressed his order without knowing his transcendental glories. The Brahmanas repented their sinful activities. They wanted to go personally to offer their obeisances unto him, but being afraid of Kamsa, in other words, they didn't have full faith, they could not go to Krishna and surrender unto him. In other words, it is very difficult for one to surrender fully unto the personality of Godhead without being purified by devotional service. The example of the learned Brahmanas and their wives is vivid. The wives of the Brahmanas, because they were inspired by pure devotional service, did not care for any kind of opposition. They immediately went to Krishna. But the Brahmanas, although they had come to know the supremacy of Lord and were repenting, and were still afraid of King Kamsa because they were too much addicted to fruitive activities. In other words, they didn't have full faith. This is the same thing. Niyamagraha, and actually not only Niyamagraha in terms of devotional service activities, but Niyamagraha in terms of fruitive activities, which Krishna describes as what? Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunya Babarjana, Nirdwandva Nirdushapashto, and Niryogakshema Atmavani. Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas are mainly meant for those in the three modes of nature who want to acquire something. Fruitive activities, they want to get something for their austerities, penances, sacrifices, and everything like that. Whereas the pure devotee doesn't want anything. He is, in one sense, desireless in terms of furtive activities, but he or she desires to please Krishna. So, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 23rd chapter of Krishna, delivering the wives of the brahmanas who performed sacrifices. So, we did 23 today, and it's just about time to end and take questions, so we can do that. So, that was nice. So, we'll unmute you, and we'll see who has a question. Who has a question? Oh, Rakesh.
Sudhir, please accept my humble obeisances.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question. I'll make it quick. It's like related to yesterday's class. You said that when we offer food to Srila Prabhupada, we should think that he's a representative of God, so we are offering it in that consciousness to him.
Yes.
What if we're offering food to the Tulsi Maharani? So does it have to be directly offered to her, or why is it?
That's not been authorized for us to do. There's a disciplic succession. We offer to the spiritual master. And by offering to the spiritual masters, which that's the instruction we receive from Srila Prabhupada, that you'd be concocting something if you were offering food to Tulsi Devi. You have to be, whether you're chanting mantras or doing some procedure, that procedure or mantras have to be authorized by the spiritual master and by the disciplic succession by Krishna. You can't just like do something like Shruti Smriti Purnati Panchakatrikahi Vidha I Kantike Harir Bhakti Upatakayu Upatavai Kalpate. That if you do something that's not in accordance with the order of the spiritual master or the Shruti or the Smriti, it's simply a disturbance to society. So you can't just make up your own procedures. Even mantras that may be bona fide for other people to chant may not be bona fide for you to chant because you haven't been given that mantra. Sampradaya Vinayi Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha. That if you haven't received a mantra in disciplic succession, it's not going to work. It's like if you go and research all these different mantras, let's say you want to get some weapons like the Brahmastra weapon. Brahmastra weapon is like a nuclear weapon, but very much directed. And there may be mantras for that in the different Vedic literatures. But because you haven't been initiated in pronouncing and chanting those mantras, they will not be effective for you. So you cannot just like invent Yong Ya. Tulsi Devi is a devotee, so we're just going to offer my food to Tulsi Devi. Our process is you offer to the spiritual master accepts it and offers, sometimes we describe, up through the chain of disciplic succession and ultimately to Krishna. So that's the process we've been taught by Prabhupada. Don't make your own process up. Okay, that's it. That's your question of the day. So who else? Oh, Rishikesh, you have a question. Nice to see you.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Success, my wishes. I have a question, Gurudev. You just mentioned that these brahmanas, although they knew everything about Krishna philosophically, they couldn't surrender to him. You could not have faith. But then basically you mentioned that without devotion, you cannot get purified and you cannot surrender.
Right.
But without surrendering, you cannot even get purified. So what comes first?
Comes first is association, Brahmanda Brahmate Kanna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadivai Bhakti Latabish. What comes first is the association with a pure devotee. By association with a pure devotee, then one gets that initial faith, adoshrata tata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya, and one gets the bhakti lata bij implanted in their heart, or the seed of the bhakti lata bij implanted within their heart, and that's where the faith comes, and that's where the devotional service comes. And in the beginning, that devotional service may be agyata sukriti, means that one may be engaged in devotional service without knowing that they're engaged in devotional service. Just as like if you serve a pure devotee and you don't know he's a pure devotee or she's a pure devotee, then you get some spiritual advancement. So it all starts from sadhu sangha, adoshrata Tata Sadhu Sangota Bhajana Kriya. So,
these wives of Brahmanas, did they had any association of devotees to get that devotion?
Doesn't appear they had too much association. They had association with their wives, but they didn't take their wives seriously. It's not just like being in the same physical location as someone. But later on, they associated with their wives and they appreciated their wives. And I'm sure they made spiritual advancement after that. But everything has to start with association. Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Vagyuan Jiv Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Latapish. I'm sure you know that verse. That the living entity is wandering throughout all the material universes. And what starts his devotional service and starts his faith is he meets a pure devotee. He or she meets a pure devotee. So, I'm sure that the wives, the husbands of the wives of the Brahmins, husbands, the Brahmanas, they actually started to appreciate their wives and actually began to associate them with them and took them more seriously after that point. And from that point onwards, they made spiritual advancement. Just like Prabhupada said, that there may be a married couple, and in certain cases, the wife may be the guru or the husband. I mean, maybe not an initiating guru, but because she's more advanced, she may actually take the husband back to Godhead. And sometimes the husband's more advanced, sometimes the wife is more advanced. It's not dependent upon material circumstances that, you know, woman or man is more advanced than the other. It has nothing to do with it. We're not the body. I know that's hard to understand that we're not the body. You know, generally the men think they're their best, and they think they are the bodies, and the women are the bodies, or they think that they're not the bodies, and the women are the bodies. You know, something like that. But actually, no living entity is the body in this material world. We are spirit souls, whether you like it or not. So, that's nice. So, Mr. Gopal, you have a question.
So, my obeisances, Srila Gurudev. I was fortunate enough to hear Dinabandhu Prabhu speak a little about the wives of the Brahmanas. Someone had asked him, how did the wives of the Brahmanas get their sadhu sangha that gave them the faith? And he said that because they lived in close proximity to the other residents of Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda and the other elderly cowherd ladies, that they used to meet them when they were getting water from the well. And that's how they developed their faith in Krishna.
Wow, that's great. So they had sadhu sangha, proving the point which I just made, that they got faith from sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha. Sarva siddhi hoy. Okay, thank you, Mr. Gopal. So, Mr. Sumukh.
Jai Gurudev.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Gurudev. Today is Ekadasi in Fiji. And
also,
I was reading...
here.
Okay. I was reading about Ekadasi, which in the comes the Vaishnava calendar. And today, Ekadasi says about Lord Bhavantu and Bali Maharaj. And when Lord Bhavantu addresses Bali Maharaj, he says, "O sinless one." So Lord Bhavantu says, Bali Maharaj is a sinless devotee.
Yes.
So how does one become a devotee like Bali Maharaj? A sinless devotee.
You have to be the grandson of Pulad Maharaj. You know, if your grandpa is Pulad Maharaj, then you're in good shape. Yeah, I mean, Pulad Maharaj was there while he was doing the sacrifice. Pulad Maharaj was there. You know, that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he always had the association of Pulad Maharaj. That's how one becomes, by association. Exactly the same point. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. By good association, one can attain all perfection. Everything's based upon association. Is that all right?
Thank you, Gurudev.
All right, thank you, Mr. Samuk. All right, so anybody else? Anybody else? If no one else has a question, then We will see everybody tomorrow. And tomorrow is Lord Vamanadeva's appearance. Today is Ekadasi, and there was a half-day fast. I should explain this. It's a half-day fast on the Ekadasi. That means don't eat anything for half the day. Well, half the day is already over. Here it's the evening. In honor of the appearance day of Lord Vamanadeva, which is on the next day. The reason you do the fast on the day before, there's a reason for that, is because you're not supposed to fast on the Dwadasi, the day after Ekadasi. You're supposed to break Ekadasi in order to honor the Ekadasi, so you're not supposed to fast on the Dwadasi. Dwadasi means 12, the 12th day of the moon. Ekadasi means the 11th day of the moon, and the rule is you're supposed to break your fast at a certain time. Here we're supposed to break our fast somewhere or other around 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, you know, 6:50 something, or 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, break the fast. It's interesting, we have this whole system, and I'm looking at the calendar right now, of exact timing for breaking the fast. Probably never do that. I mean, it just becomes really interesting sometimes when you only have a half minute to break the fast, and you have, or even 1 second to break the fast, and everybody's doing a countdown. So basically, just break it. Anyway, I usually adhere to the time when it's there, but you just break it after sunrise. It's usually the right thing to do. Okay, on that happy note, we'll see everybody tomorrow evening, or tomorrow morning, depending on where you are. And tomorrow is Lord Vamanadeva's appearance, and Srila Jiva Goswami's appearance. You know, very, very important day, and we're going to be speaking about both personalities tomorrow. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Ki Chai.